It is time for Cover Your Assets with Jim Lynch. Jim, of course, is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, politics, sports, whatever. And he brings well over 40 years of experience and thought and insight to these topics and more. How's that for an intro, Jim?
I think it's fantastic. I like that insert. I like that insert of well over 40 years.
That's right. You like that? That's supposed to give
here
you...
Here comes Noah. Here comes Noah in the flood.
Yeah, this is the part...
I love your sandals.
Well, they've aged well.
Yes, they
between the water and the sand of the Dead Sea, you know?
Well, that's because it's special water.
How they hold up to nuclear strikes.
The nuclear, so what? That's old fashioned, a nuclear strike.
Who was it? What president? What was it? Oh, it was Jimmy Carter's daughter that couldn't say nuclear. She said something that was wrong, and people got on her for talking.
What, nuclear?
Yeah.
And then George Bush came along. And
George
say,
Bush had the yeah. same thing, yeah.
But she was
yeah.
a kid, and people got on her for, oh, no kid's really interested in a nuclear Armageddon. And she was. Amy Carter.
Of course she was. Her old man was into that.
Yeah.
Was he a physicist? He was into that.
Hey, yeah. Let's just say that the great thing about the great thing about the passage of time is that someone who is roundly considered to be a wretched president has become not only a statesman but a voice of reason. It's just really interesting what happens 30 years on.
When you think about that, Jim, you go back to Jimmy Carter. Maybe he wasn't a good president at the time, but he was a statesman, and look what he's done now. You look back, and this is going to really rock the world. You look back at Richard Nixon, and except for wanting to be king, he was actually the world was a safer place with him as president. His problem was he just wanted to be King Richard. Time has a way of healing wounds on some of these guys.
No question, and that's an excellent assessment of Nixon. I always think of him of a number of things, but particularly opening China.
Well,
when you realize what that accomplishment was, I mean,
people,
the Chinese, they were so insular, and somehow he stood up and said, we're going to do this, and it basically opened up a part of the world that really hadn't been part of the world. In terms of Jimmy Carter, I mean, incredible. An incredible man that he continues to go on and do service and give us an example. Give us an example of what a great American, never mind president, would do in the pursuit of world peace, etc. So,
again, during the time, and this is what people really have to understand. We are talking about the context. Sorry about that word, folks. Of history, looking back in.
You go back to Nixon. Not only did he open up China, but he had a great relationship with Leonid Brezhnev, and to boot, most people don't realize this. Richard Nixon was behind a proposal to give a guaranteed annual income to every American.
Mm-hmm.
A guaranteed annual income. You can look this up. It said he was pushing that legislation, and he only lost by a couple of votes. But this is a conservative president. When you look back, a guaranteed annual income for every American is what we came very close to having back then.
Can you imagine how different the world would be right at this given moment in time when we have such divisiveness? Also, by the way, I'd like to seize on the word conservative. Conservative doesn't mean no taxes. It doesn't mean have the little guy working for little money as the corporations grow. Conservative means preserving things, the economy in this instance, the ecology, the environment. I would hope that people begin to go back to what a conservative really is. It is not someone who is against. It's not somebody who's pulling us back, but rather giving us a sanity and a stability to enable us to grow. I think it was lovely that you brought us back, because in this day and age when things are so tumultuous and so I think, very disturbing and discouraging for people. I think it's really important, one, to go back and see we have had some great leaders, and two, even with their foibles, we've overcome them and we've succeeded. Richard Nixon also was very much into, even though he was a relatively prejudiced guy, into getting the more of a racial equality, and he didn't totally succeed by any stretch. But, you know, the thing is, we have to read more in books and listen less to that moment-to-moment commentary to truly understand where we've been and where we are.
Yeah, and we as adults, I'm not just talking about radio, but we as adults really need to encourage, if you can't get through to your kids, get through to your grandkids.
Well, here's the whole thing about presidents like President Nixon or President Johnson. We'll go forward after that, and you take a look. You had leaders in the Senate and the House that actually talked to one another and actually – I don't like to use the word compromise. They would negotiate, and they would come up with something sooner or later.
Well,
and there is no negotiation between the parties now. Each party locks the other party out.
Plus,
the party that's in power locks the other party out.
But plus, the televising negotiations is like watching paint dry. And, you know, it's not very interesting. And once you are watching paint dry, but you've got a panel discussing the latest... It is amazing how kids are not being taught at this point to negotiate. It's like everyone, there's relatively, in my view, of course, not representative of anybody else, this is my opinion, but there is relatively, there's a tolerance deficit, and there is no understanding that if a person says something that you don't agree with, then you go, well, okay, yeah, no, but how about some version thereof? And P.S., go on.
Well said. What parents need to do is to get their children or grandchildren books that go back to the establishment of this country in terms of the intimate things that were going on when they were hashing out the Articles of Confederation. Yes, I remember that. And eventually the Constitution. And you'll find in reading these more intimate stories, and they're out there, that these men were very much on different sides or different degrees of various issues, but they talked and they talked and they talked, and you'll find very consistently that they agreed to agree. And that's what's missing in today's political culture, and missing to a large degree in our overall culture. The fact that, and now I'm not going to diverge from this. Actually, I'm going to make the following point. If you think of the competitiveness, Little League baseball, when parents go out and scream and holler and yell at the ump and so forth and so on. It's that kind of demeanor. It's got kind of thing that we're incorporating in the psyche of our kids. This idea of you play ball, you do your best, you win, lose, or draw, you come back and say, hey, great catch, good hit. We're missing that, really missing that, and we got to get back to it. And I would suggest folks go back. And with all the resources we have now, you can find those books. I wish I could remember some of them, but I do remember reading this stuff, so it's,
you know,
there.
There was a Signet, I think it was a Signet series, but it was one of my favorite things, and because I loved reading, yay for me, but my mother started dropping these. They're biographies.
Right.
And, yeah, they were... they weren't totally granular, as people say now. They were just broad strokes. But Clara Barton, Florence Nightingale, Beethoven, just people, these people that did things, and it just opened up different ranges. Who was the guy with smallpox? Jenner. But it created different areas of interest. Now, I never became a scientist. Big fail on music, but at least I know they exist.
I hear you. You touched my heart a little bit with Beethoven, because right after Mozart, he's one of my favorites. The thing is, if you look at his life, he was deaf, he composed, he went on and did all of this great music. Wow, what an inspiration.
Right.
What an inspiration to all of our children and ourselves, frankly, that there's so much that can be done, and we don't need a computer to tell us to do it. We've got that internal mechanism that we should touch more and more and become more sensitive to.
I just wanted to throw this to the giants, basically, but I wanted to throw it back, you know, because of the way media consumption is designed, and the only way they can survive is if you buy the stuff that you see advertised on the screens, okay? And I don't think that enough people consume that way. I was talking to a friend yesterday. She said, you know, I don't watch any TV, but we were watching something the other night, and I heard about drugs that I didn't even know existed.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, she's in the profession. She's a scientist. She's not so far away from it. But most of her consumption is done via Netflix. You know, it's you'll forgive the word, it's curated. But what a lot of people don't realize is that to be able to curate something, you've got to know where the stuff fits into the bigger picture.
Well, one, that's very true. But also, you have to have the desire. We get a little lazy with the internet and the phone and so forth and so on. Wanted to talk giants?
Well, we'll talk giants in a second. But before we talk, I'll talk giants first. But then I want to bring something up about the
stock
market.
No, bring something up first.
Okay.
Go ahead.
There's a great guy who lives in Sharon, Brian Ross, who released a story that was inaccurate the other day. It was not, and the ABC immediately pulled it. And what it did to the stock market should tell people that that should open their eyes to what the stock market is. I'm no stock market expert, but stock market is not a business driven market.
No,
it is an emotionally driven market on that things that happen on world events.
And, you know,
it has nothing at all to do with business.
And Marshall, you know, has unfortunately had to sit here and drink my Kool-Aid for I don't know how long. But obviously, it's finally infected him.
I mean, you saw it. I mean, you saw it 2 days ago. You saw it.
Well, not only that, you saw 350 points bang. Just and the other thing that you saw is, and this is personal frustration, you saw just tens of thousands of shares and likes and pass it on and embed it in various news articles. And then the correction, which was first a clarification, which is a problem. But the correction had, and it was ever thus, but no one cared about the correction. The bad information was already out there. The only people who don't know that it was bad information are people who pay attention in the business. Everybody else...
But the whole thing was it has nothing to do with business, Jim, and I think 90% of the Americans don't realize that.
No, they don't realize it. They really don't. There's somebody with a bid and somebody with an offer, and it's got nothing to do with selling more phones or TVs or automobiles at that moment in time. It's that visceral kind of thing that says, I think this is going higher, I think this is going lower, etc.
It's almost like
by the way,
it's almost like a drug for adults. I mean, you get hooked on it.
No question. What this market reminds me of, and no market is exactly the same, but in terms of the psychology, which we've been talking about here, is 2000 when people 2000. Recently, when people just, give me more, buy me more, give me this, give me that. And I think the crescendo is setting in as we're speaking. So, folks, please, if you've got profits, take them. Be cautious. Don't have your whole money in the stock market. But most importantly, as Marshall and Jill were just saying, you know, this is the market can be very emotional, and I think right now it's extremely emotional. So stay away, be careful, be prudent. Let's get to the Giants.
No, just quickly before the Giants, because we all want to talk about the Giants, is just Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I've been amiss the last couple of shows. I think some time ago we warned people off of Bitcoins when it was substantially lower, by the way, probably 300, 400. It's now 1,100. God knows where it is. There's a book about about the tulip craze in Holland in the 1700s, where people went out and they basically, because there was this, they fell in love with the idea that these tulips would, you know, they were scarce and worth something, and they bid the tulips up to the sky. I had the book out the other day. I'm sorry, I don't have it right with me now. I will on the next show. But it's about these kind of crazy times, and that's what I think Bitcoin is about. It's very important for you to understand that while Bitcoin has gone up a lot, and certain people have made a lot of money, there's really no underneath to it. There's really no known intrinsic value other than the screen. This stuff, it's a virtual currency. It's like watching a movie. And people have been making a lot of money. Individuals, institutions, big traders, and so forth. But for the average person, you have to understand the risk is so much greater than the gain that it's not worth you getting involved in it. For something to go up and then down 25% in a day and then up and down 20% in a day, it's got to tell you something. So stay away. But the thing is, if you're really interested, if you really are fascinated by it, then go and learn about it. And there's not a lot of information on it, but go and learn about it. Cryptocurrency is what it's called, and more people are creating this. For instance, Venezuela, which is now broke, they're going to have a cryptocurrency. It's a very speculative vehicle and not something not only for the average person, but for most people. So that's Bitcoin.
Yeah, and find now, out about... I was just going to throw in one more thing. There's a book called, and then we're going to do the Giants because it's important, Manias, Panics, and Crashes, A History of Financial Crises by Charles Kindleberger. So go find out about cryptocurrencies and then just zip through that book, you know, just skim through that book and then make your choices.
The thing is, spend your time, if you're really going to spend your time on investigating a very speculative situation, take three decent companies and go on the internet and go to Yahoo and go wherever and get information on solid companies. A lot of them are trading too high now, but a Johnson & Johnson, Apple, companies that are solid and will be part of our life for some time to come. Now, the Giants. Eli is back, apparently.
Yep, yeah, that's what I heard.
And it's... I was thinking this morning before getting on. It's so sad that the Giants actually put Geno in this position of taking over from Eli and all eyes on him. I mean, pretty difficult to really perform. He did an adequate job, but hopefully Eli will win the next four games. And I'm hoping of that, not that the Giants are going anywhere, but that the team, if they do win a couple, are going to come back psychologically from this disastrous kind of mismanagement that's occurred.
Well, that's the whole thing. There's the problem with the head coach is ever since he's been there, the Giants have, as an offensive coordinator and coach, the Giants have never scored 30 points. Part two is he was not a communicator. Tom Coughlin was not a communicator when he first came in. He met with Michael Strahan, and Strahan said, you know, this isn't going to work. And Coughlin changed, and the Giants won two Super Bowls under him. You know, this guy that came in, Ben McAdoo, he was just, it's his first job, Look at Bill Belichick was horrible in his first year. Bill Parcells horrible in his first year. He'll learn from this and he'll become a coach in the future. That's probably going to be a good coach, but he just did not fit this year, and he was a disaster. And I was proud to see John Mara out there yesterday doing what he did, acting like Wellington would have finally, and taking responsibility and cleaning up the situation. Giant fans are amazing. They purchased three very expensive billboards around Giant Stadium. Giant fans. And these are the electronic boards. And it said, you know, shame on you, Giants. And Mara said, you know, he could not see coming into the last three games of the season being at home, leaving things like they were. And he made the right decision.
He did. And it was a very big decision. Because when you make one decision and then you say, hey, wait a second, you learn and you change. Much like you said about Belichick and Parcells, their first seasons weren't all that great, but they did learn, as did Coughlin. And that's the whole thing in these sports. You know, you can watch all the tape you want, but you got to learn from it. And I really wish, I mean, you know, I'm a New York boy and I love the Giants. I love all the sports. I really hope they really do it. Now let's get to some serious stuff. Mueller, remember him, Mueller, special counsel. He has now subpoenaed Donald Trump's banking records from Deutsche Bank. He had asked for it previously and it wasn't forthcoming. He's now subpoenaed them. This is very key and very crucial. Because you'll find probably as we go down that the laundering that Donald has been doing, he's been doing it through Deutsche Bank. There were evidence of this at least a year ago, but nobody brought it forward. Mueller's doing this, in my opinion, as he's beginning to get closer and closer to a conclusion, though I think it's going to be some time away, because Mueller wants to safeguard the investigation. If somehow Trump closes him down, which I doubt he'll do or can do, actually, then these records get turned over to the New York Attorney General. And he can then prosecute Trump, and nobody can excuse him.
Right.
Very quickly, Trump, close your ears, folks. Trump the pervert is now backing more the pedophile in Alabama. Alabama didn't sign off on getting rid of something about bestiality in 2014. The South is rife with a lot of problems, as the world is. And Roy Moore is, in my opinion, more indicative of Alabama than not. Sometimes I think maybe we'd be better off having another breaking up of the Union and have the South go their way and the states on the eastern and west coast go their way. Obviously, it's kind of a pipe dream and it's somewhat facetious, but it's indicative of the cultural differences and the educational differences. We are not a perfect country, but we've been lasted for a couple of hundred years. And please, folks, whatever comes up near term, long term, please vote. I mean, the disappointment of the last election was the lack of people coming out and voting. And maybe it wouldn't have changed the election. I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at the fact that if we deny us, and not deny, if we don't take advantage of a right which is key to our freedom, we eventually, not we necessarily, but generations down the road, will lose that freedom.
All right, we have to end it right there, Jim.
Well, I'm free. Free at last. I love you. Have a good one.
Take care.
See you.
And Jim Lynch, Uncover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio.